a 20-piece suit, all made from the sheep's wool. We must have the love and commitment. That applies to a full-time worker, and it applies also to any leader, whether part-time or spare time. I mean, if you want to be a spare tire, you have to be a good one. If your car tire punctures and you are replacing the spare tire, you're not going to take another punctured tire and put it there. You're going to take another tire that is usable. So we make sure that we have that kind of commitment. That is why we must count the cost before we go in. I mean, most of the time, people after counting, looking at all these things, say, I don't think I want to go to the ministry now. You know why? They haven't died to self. But that is where it starts. We have opened the door to ministry without letting people die to self. And so we don't produce good leaders. The door to ministry is the death of self, where we love above self. That's how Paul's relationship was. No wonder Paul commands such respect from the Corinthians, even though they are a really rebellious bunch. One letter from him, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7, one letter from him, all of them were crying. Say, oh dear, Paul scold me. First of all, because they know he loves them. And he carries such weight of authority because of his care and concern. And he says here, what does it mean here in his second area of commitment of principle of relationship of living and dying together? It also means crying and laughing together. The things that make them sad are the things that make him sad, he says in chapter 7. The things that they rejoice in, he rejoices in. That was a kind of relationship. And we feel the pain in the sheep when they feel the pain. We feel the pain that they feel, and we cry. And then when they are touched by God and they are transformed, we feel their joy. And it's hard to describe, but it's something real. I remember recently one of my leaders, and he was quite close to us, and in fact, all our leaders are close to us. We have to this day the credit that not a single one of our leaders have ever left the church. They've always been true. They are not perfect. They make mistakes here and there. We have a rotational system where each one takes turns to serve in the main council. But we love each one of them, and we treasure each one of them. And so one day when there was one of his only daughter was, no, he has a few other children, but that was his only daughter was sick. And when we heard about it, our hearts were grieved. And then my wife and I went into prayer. And we prayed and we could see. And we visited them and several times, and we have our schedule, and no matter how busy, always we the closer leaders, we will give more attention, and because these are the ones who will lead the others. And it was so much in my heart, and that it was like interceding all the time for them. And about 3 Sundays back, I was praying on Sunday morning is about 3 something in the morning. That's praying and preparing for the day. And I prayed till about, it was about, I prayed till about 6, yeah. It was until about 6 a.m. I just worshipping and committing myself to God. And then I was just taking a little rest before we start changing and going to the church. So we prayed till about 6, and so I was taking a little rest, and by the time I was all ready to lie down on the sofa to take a little rest before I go to church, it was about 6:15, I remember, in the a.m. in the morning. And then suddenly, I was taken up, and my spirit left my body. And there were several things that happened, that took place. But among them was met with the Lord and talked with the Lord. And there were a few things that the Lord mentioned. But can you imagine, even while there, I was carrying that burden for that child. And when everything was over, I asked the Lord, and I said, "Lord, what about this person's daughter?" And then the Lord says, "She's already healed." And so that Sunday when I came back into the body and then went to church, because he expect me to come back to the body and go to church. And I remember when I called for that particular leader who was very precious to us, and when I called him forward, tears just started flowing from my eyes. Although I knew what the Lord said, and I told them what the Lord said, the moment I just say those words, I say, "The Lord said, she's already healed." There was a feeling like you never know what it feels like. You know what it feels like when you know somebody is going through something and you know that their victory is there. You're happy and yet you cry. And that's the kind of feeling that must be there for any leader of any church, for their flock and for their sheep and for the people you minister to. And sometimes people have come and said encouraging things about how God has transformed their life, how God has changed their lives. And we used to tell them back and said, in the ministry, there's only one joy that is really tremendous. The joy of seeing lives change and growing closer to God. Nothing thrills the minister more than that. It's the greatest reward. So in 2 Corinthians 7, we have here, in chapter 7, how Paul says that when they were sorry, look at what he says here, that in chapter 7, about his letter in verse 8, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." Look at what he says. "I don't regret in that I know it helps you, but yet I still do." That was the extent of his relationship. He feels it in him. And he feels such love. The second area of a relationship is living and dying together. That will establish any ministry. And he continues in verse 15, the word splagna comes out again. You see, in the second section, the word splagna is a key word. You need to understand the fullness of splagna. "And his affections are greater for you as he remembers the obedience of you all. How with fear and trembling you receive him." How Titus has great splagna for them too. I did a research on the word splagna. And we cannot give it all in one session here, but among those things that splagna mean is, splagna has to do with creative miracles, because the compassion of God flows and it moves into a greater height of healing anointing. And then Sprajna has to do with, because of the word Sprajna is tied to the word womb in the original historical Greek research into that word. And so there's creative force that flows when Sprajna flows. And the word Sprajna is linked to wisdom. The word Sprajna is linked to the fullness of God's presence. A lot of things that the word Sprajna is linked to. It's important for us to understand that in this second section, the key Greek word is the word Sprajna. Chapter 8, in chapter 9, in chapter 8, verse 5, "And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." It says, "And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." In chapter 8, you notice it moves into, at first it looks like something different. It looks into the ministry of giving and talks about finances and the grace of giving. And it says that before these people give, they must give themselves to God, then they can give themselves to the ministry of giving. But why does it come in here? The test of anyone's relationship comes when it comes to money. I mean, everyone is friend. But the real test of a friend is as you eat, how the bills get paid. And you know what degree of relationship. No father will sort of try to eat at his children's expense. And he eat now, make his children pay. It's the opposite way. And I found this, that it is impossible, if you really go close to people, to avoid it touching your pockets. So you can't really say, "I love you with my heart, but I don't love you with my wallet." You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You just want to do something. Which is why a lot of young men who love sweet little ladies and fall in love, where for themselves they would never even spend above $50. For that sweet young thing, they spend $1,000. So what has got into their mind? No, a screw didn't go loose. But love just seemed to oil their wallet. This is true in the book of Acts, in their relationship together. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 33, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need." There is no greater revival than when it began to touch your financial life. And we talk about oneness and we sing about oneness, but yet in the end, it's how we handle finances that determines it. And we thank God for the relationship we build with many of the church people in our church. And I know that at any time, I could just walk into their house and join them in a meal If and not only the people there, but people outside the church, and from our early traveling days of ministry, we know they are dear people to us, and we could just go to their house, and there always be a roof there that we could shelter in. But love is two-way.